Breaking news. This is your World War III Day X update, and I told you so. World War III is right on schedule. Unparalleled events have unfolded in the Middle East, thrusting the entire region into chaos and turmoil once again, the likes of which this generation has not yet seen, and this is only the beginning. Because what has happened in the last 24 hours is the equivalent of the Archduke Franz Ferdinand assassination in 1914 that was, of course, a catalyst for World War I. Only I would argue that Nasrallah's geopolitical significance within the region is more pivotal to the balance of power in the Middle East than was the Archduke's. This war is going to go global very soon. The only reason why Iran has yet to respond to Israel is because they know what the response is going to be. They know that if they unleash with their conventional forces against Israel and completely and utterly destroy the nation of Israel, then there will be a nuclear reprisal, the likes of which we've never seen. And because we don't know what Israel has in their nuclear arsenal, and you might as well just say we don't know what the United States has in their nuclear arsenal, we must presume that they have weapons that not even the United States claim to have, okay? And this plausible deniability is something that everybody in the world looks at, everybody in the world knows about and fears, because they understand that Israel, as a proxy of the United States, this is the United States' workaround to all of the nuclear treaties that exist between the Russians and the Americans. The Russians understand that the Israelis are the attack dog for the Americans, and such, this means that whatever nuclear arsenal Israel is in possession of, so are the Americans. Because Israel does everything off the books, we don't know what sort of new weapons they have. And we can presume, based on what we've seen in the last few weeks, that those capabilities are going to be significant. They're probably going to leverage new types of technology. We could be talking about nukes in the sub-kiloton range that will yield localized EMP effects that would, of course, be utilized in a broader Middle Eastern conflict. And this is why the Iranians are so reticent to respond. But the entire region is about to go up in flames very soon, because if they don't respond, this is essentially just a green light for Netanyahu to go all the way. Now, right now, the Russians, remember, Sergei Shoigu, before all this shit started with the pager attacks and all that, he was meeting with his counterpart in Iran when all of that went down. We know that the Russians have been making shipments to Iran. What have they been shipping? Have they been shipping nuclear missiles? There's a distinct possibility that they have. There's a distinct possibility that the Iranians are coming under the Russian nuclear umbrella protection. But with the exception that Iran cannot start a major war with Israel, that is possibly what we are seeing right now. But that is not going to suffice for all of the aggrieved individuals who are protesting in the streets and demanding retaliation right now against Israel, who is getting ready to do a ground invasion inside Lebanon. My friends, there's a lot of information that I have to go over today, so just bear with me while we go it bullet by bullet point. We also need to talk about what happened in Russia today that is getting almost no media attention. Another red line has been breached by the Ukrainians, who targeted another massive ammunition depot deep inside Russia. Just a few days ago, Vladimir Putin outlined the new details of the Russian nuclear doctrine, which stated clearly that if there's any conventional drone attack by a non-nuclear nation, even, that we will reserve the right to respond with the use of nuclear weapons. Ukraine already used drones to target deep inside Russia, okay? So we know that they've already overstepped the red line. So the question is Russia going to respond? Because we know this is only the beginning now that Ukraine has been empowered with new long-range weapons from the U.S. government, and of course, the U.K. Storm Shadow missiles. Guys, this is the time to prepare. Understand what I'm about to say. And you can put this on a t-shirt, you can quote me. Every single person is going to panic. But the smart people are going to panic before the shit hits the fan. Here is your daily news. Hassan Nasrallah has been assassinated in Lebanon. A masterful, yet diabolical, by some accounts, decapitation strike, the likes of which we've never seen before. A blitzkrieg of an intelligence maneuver by the IDF and Mossad. Even if you don't like them, you have to give them their due. This was one of the most masterful decapitation maneuvers in military history. Now, the problem with it all is the resiliency of Hezbollah's command structure that not a lot of people realize. It's not the same as a orthodox military that we might have here in a more developed country or in the West, where you have brigadier generals and captains and lieutenants and master sergeant, all the way down. It's not like that. There's a series of specialists with deputies of deputies of deputies. And then you also have the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps who are interoperable. That's the IRGC, a spinoff of the Iranian military, who are interoperable with Hezbollah. So even if the upper echelon of Hezbollah was completely decapitated, as it was, the IRGC simply steps in and then oversees and fills those positions within the ranks. And it's arguable that what was binding Nasrallah's hands all along was the Iranians through their IRGC tentacles, who will be the ones overseeing the use of the heavier duty ordnance. And I think that there's a red line in there somewhere where Israel has stated that if these longer range heavy ordnance missiles, actually, which the Iron Dome likely will not be able to take down, or even David Sling arrow system will not be able to take down. If those weapons start to get used, that's when Israel starts responding against Iran, possibly using their tactical nuclear weapons. And it's very important to understand that we do not know what nuclear weapons Israel has. And this is why there's an imbalance of power inherent between East and West. And this is why Israel and Russia have always tried to establish a relationship of neutrality, even though that the Russians knew that the Israelis were just a proxy of the Americans. So we're entering a very dangerous situation where the Iranians now are going to be forced to do something. They have to do something. But the question is, what will appease the grievances of all of the Shiite followers of Nasrallah? And what they're trying to cook up here clearly is another sectarian round of violence in the Middle East, Sunnis versus Shiites. And Netanyahu made this abundantly clear in his address to the UN General Assembly, where he pulled out his usual cartoon placards to insult everybody's intelligence, and essentially drew a dividing line between Sunni and Shiite states. Because, of course, Israel benefits from getting the Sunnis and the Shiites fighting with one another, siding, of course, primarily with some Sunni forces, with the exception of there's some overlap with Hamas, who's Sunni, and Hezbollah, who's Shiite. But above and overall, they benefit from sectarian violence within the Islamic community. Okay, now it's no surprise that half the people who were in attendance there walked out of that speech. Israel may be completely dominating in the tactical and operational space. They're losing soft power around the world every single day. Iranian armed forces are on the highest state of alert. In fact, the Ayatollah, after the Nasrallah assassination, was moved to one of the bunkers in Iran. Iran's national coordinator of cyberspace declared a red level emergency status throughout the entire country for the next 48 hours. According to Hezbollah, Anyone who believes, and this is from a political science professor of Quds University, he says that anyone who believes that Hezbollah will surrender is delusional. Now everyone is waiting for the reaction of this moment, and in the coming hours, surprising news will be published about Hezbollah's capabilities, which it has not used so far. The question is, why has it not been used so far? As far as I know, Hezbollah has now officially declared war. Only now, after their entire upper leadership has been destroyed, have they officially declared war. And it makes me wonder if there weren't some informants, perhaps even on the Axis of Resistance side, who threw these leaders under the bus. The same guy or the same elements that took down the Iranian President Raisi, were they behind this? Did they leak this information to the Israelis and the Americans? Did they want these guys gone? Either way, it's a Darwinian win for Hezbollah, because you don't want this type of incompetent leadership going into World War III anyways. Israel just did these guys a favor in taking these dum-dums out. Because if you're still just willy-nilly in a publicly known space having these meetings, I mean, hey, that's natural selection, folks. Hezbollah has declared war. It's important to understand that Hezbollah has an extensive network of tunnels. What Israel is saying about weapons being stored in buildings is very convenient, but it's likely not the complete truth. I mean, just the idea of moving weapons, these large-scale weapons, in and out of buildings in a densely populated urban environment and trying to keep that secret, that makes no sense whatsoever. Using it as human shields, knowing that Israel doesn't care about human shields, I mean, that's become abundantly obvious. I think the casualty rate in the Gaza Strip right now, all told, casualties as a result of the conflict are around 600,000 people. So they should have known by now. But maybe they weren't. They were, after all, dumb enough to sit in a bunker in the suburbs of Beirut that everybody knew about. Okay? So there's numerous different tunnel options that Hezbollah has at their disposal when the ground invasion begins, which is going to begin any day now. He said there are five different types of tunnels. This is according to an expert on the topic in Lebanon. There are five different types of military tunnels. There's the offensive tunnels, as seen on the border with Israel. There are logistics tunnels, a network of tunnels under BRICS that Iran built for Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, and tunnel systems built for the purposes of smuggling supplies via Syria. There are also tunnels for storing missiles and air defense systems to cut into the mountains of the Lebanon Valley area and in other parts of Lebanon. And finally, there are the tunnels used for underground missile launch facilities, none of which have really even entered the combat space just yet. And it's important to understand that within the last 24 hours, Israel has declared a no-fly zone within the regions of northern Lebanon and Syria. The Russian Air Force operates within this region. Now, while I presume that there is communication there, so not to bring Russians into this conflict and force them to take a side, even though they seemingly have, with Sergei Lavrov's statements at the UN General Assembly, where he condemns Israel's recent actions as a violation of Lebanese sovereignty, this could be the point where the Russians are forced to take a side, and we see the strict alignment between East and West along Syrian and Iranian lines. Either way, get ready. And there's a reason why the Israelis did this on the weekend, because they did not want to disturb the price of oil on Thursday and Friday. It did a little bit, but I don't think anybody expected the outcome that we're seeing now. There was an emergency meeting that took place in Iran immediately afterwards. This, of course, triggered the heightened state of readiness. This could, in fact, mean that Iran is getting ready to launch their long since vaunted attack that everybody expected in response to the Haniyeh assassination. So there's many reasons for Iran to retaliate right now. There's the Haniyeh assassination. There's the deaths of IRGC high-ranking commanders throughout Syria that just took place. And then, of course, there's the retribution for Nasrallah. So there's plenty of reasons why Iran has to justify a retaliatory strike against Israel. They keep saying they're going to do it. Makes me wonder, does the Ayatollah there really have that much power? Or has there been some sort of subversion by this new president? It really makes you wonder what's going on there. As I said, the Ayatollah has been moved to a bunker. You're seeing pro-Hezbollah protests all throughout the Middle East in Iran and Bahrain. The IRGC commander, Nafourishen, has been killed in Syria. Iran believes that Israel does want a bigger war and that they are just trying to provoke the Iranians into responding. I believe that this was probably the conversation with Shoigu and his counterpart in Iran, and how that went is try not to take the bait. The West wants us to take the bait by responding using a nuclear weapon in Ukraine. They're trying to get you to do the same. We will provide you with strategic security, a nuclear umbrella, but you cannot respond no matter how bad it gets. Day X will come. The day to blow our wad will come, but we're trying to postpone that for as long as possible. At least that's how I think ostensibly that conversation might have went. Biden has prepared for a regional war while still virtue signaling, of course, adjusting the force posture of CENTCOM within the region to get ready for the deployment of U.S. troops within the region. And of course, defend with their missile defense and their aircraft Israel from any major attack from Iran. Russia is also claiming that Israel is trying to bait Iran into a much broader war and trying to drag the United States into that war. It's important to understand that the United States are the ones that are pulling the strings. I know it seems like the tail is wagging the dog, but understand that these are U.S. weapons. These are likely U.S. trained instructors, personnel on the ground inside Israel, working hand in glove with the Israeli government, with the Mossad. Sure, there's probably some breaks in the command chain there just for plausible deniability's sake, but in terms of the ISR and the backbone, which of course Israel goes back to every time they're worried about being attacked for all the shit that they're causing in the region, they always go back to Big Daddy United States saying, hey, protect us because of the shit we just did, right? So it's the U.S. taxpayer that ultimately funds the bill for all of this insanity, which really has no purpose whatsoever. At least they could explain the true purpose to us if there was a true purpose. Of course, we know the purpose in its world domination, as it's always been. Iran may decide to send troops to Lebanon. This is unfounded rumor. At this point in time, strictly hearsay. Iran has troops that it could send into that region, but they're going to be in another form. They're not going to be Iranian military troops, of which I believe there's around 1,650,000 active duty soldiers, far more than the Israelis can muster. And then, of course, you're talking about all the paramilitary groups throughout the region that are probably in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions. So this is why you're ultimately going to see Egypt and Turkey be brought into these conflicts, because they, of course, have massive military power, and that's going to be needed in order to combat these forces, which are distributed, they're decentralized, and it's going to be a bloody mess. U.S. embassy staff have left Lebanon. Israel has mobilized reserves. I believe it's a very significant number. Something like 150,000 troops. So you know they're going in for a ground invasion. I talked about the imposed no-fly zone in parts of Syria, which of course could impact Russian logistics. The Iranians were trying to send a plane load of we presume weapons into Lebanon, and Israel threatened to shoot them down. Now, I don't think Iran would do that under the conditions that we're currently seeing, but maybe it was just a commercial flight. Who knows? Either way, they've effectively imposed a no-fly zone, or a zone where they're the ones who say gets in and out, because of course they have all of the American high-level missile defense systems. There's riots throughout the Middle East, as I indicated. Now, they're claiming that Hezbollah is planning a massive retaliation. They're going to bust out the big guns in the next 72 hours. I'm not holding my breath on that. But Iran does say that Hezbollah is planning something, okay? So I think, what else do we got to talk about today here? There was a Russian colonel who overseen the Iranian drone program, who was linked to the Shahid drone program. He was eliminated near Moscow. Now, we don't know if this was an assassination, but, you know, in light of what's going on in Israel right now, one has to ask, are these things related? Because this is where the Israelis and the Ukrainians have a common enemy, of course, is in Iran and Shahed drones. And Ukraine has said as such that Iran is our enemy. Okay. Now, in terms of what's happening on the Russian front. Oh, I forgot about one thing. Explosions at Conoco base, which hosts U.S. forces in Syria. And the Iraqi forces are on a heightened state of alert. They are storming the U.S. embassy as we speak. So shit's going down. Now, in terms of what's going down in Russia, Ukraine is saying that they will, in fact, strike inside Russia. According to Zelensky's press secretary, I mean, they already have, as I indicated earlier, the Russians will be the first to learn about the permission to strike deep into the Russian Federation, according to Zelensky's press secretary, and there'll be an official announcement later. At this point in time, we need to take these people on their word, because they are absolute Looney Tunes. They are going to take us to the brink of nuclear war. That's why you need to prepare. We don't do a lot of shameless promotion on this channel, although I certainly could have sponsors at the beginning of every video. My mission is to get as many people prepared as possible. If you want to support yourself, go and support the channel at CanadianPreparedness.com and get preparedness supplies. We are stocked up for the World War III panic, which is about to ensue. You need to do it now before, because remember, everyone is going to panic. The smart people are going to do it before shit hits the fan. A Russian drone entered NATO airspace recently. Two Romanian F-16s and two Spanish F-18 fighter jets were scrambled after a Russian drone briefly entered Romanian airspace to go for a target, and I presume what might be Odessa. Lukashenko has reiterated his nuclear warning, stating that Belarusian's nukes will be used immediately, without hesitation, if but one tank crosses over the Belarusian border. Of course, they don't have the conventional capabilities to wage a war of attrition like the Russians do. So there'll be no exceptions. According to Lukashenko, they will immediately use their nuclear weapons gifted by the Russians should any NATO army cross its borders. The Finnish president is warning that Russia is going to wage hybrid war this winter, which could either mean we're going to see false flag events, if you know what I mean, or maybe this is going to be the Russian response to deep strikes inside their territory, and it's not going to immediately go to the nuclear level, but anything's possible at this point in time. A Chinese nuclear submarine has sunk. Yes, we don't know if the nuclear reactor went down with it or what. Now, people are poking fun of this, but understand that China, I think they manufacture 30 large warships every year compared to our 5. So they're still 24 ahead, if you know what I mean, just for this year. Within the next few years, China will have one of the largest quantitatively and probably qualitatively be very close to the capabilities of the American Navy, which of course is aging and like much of the infrastructure across the North American continent is starting to show its aging. So we have that Russian ammo depot that was recently set ablaze. We've crossed that red line once again. Zelensky seems to think that, he says that, I don't know what will happen after the U.S. elections, but I received very direct information from Trump that he will be on our side and support Ukraine. So whatever that means, I think these guys are going to say whatever it takes to get elected, but I'm sure once Trump is briefed on the nature of the situation, they're not going to change course much beyond what they're doing now. But unfortunately, judging by the body language of Kamala Harris, it looks as though she's going to be the one that gets elected. There's just a sense of certainty there. Maybe it's hubris instilled in her by the ones that surround her and give her orders, but it appears as though there's this underlying anxiety that is resigned to the role that she is going to be in that is quite evident, and that's who you're going to get. So you're going to get more of what you're seeing now. Everything that you're seeing now is going to continue regardless of who the president is, but they're just going to extend, you know, the usual fodder for their constituents in order to keep them happy with respect to the border stuff. And there's going to be some domestic issues that are going to be different depending on which candidate is elected. But by and large, foreign policy is going to remain unchanged for the most part. So I would encourage you right now, prepare. We just completed some major projects on the homestead that I look forward to sharing with you in the coming days ahead. We got a lot of videos coming down the pike, stuff that we actually are showing us doing things, practical things, getting ready for the worst case scenarios and not just sitting here talking about all the bad news. We've been warning about all this stuff. How much more reassurance that you're on the right track with this preparedness thing do you need? Here it is, plain as day. Keep on going. Stay the course, my friends. Support the channel, CanadianPreparedness.com. See you on the flip side.